Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. This is episode
98.
I am your host, Vince.
And I am your exercise instructor, Olive.
What's up? What's new? What's good?
Not much. I'm still doing the things that I was doing last week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am.
That sounds like a time.
Yeah, mostly I've just been wasting my own time.
Yeah.
What about you?
I got the greatest compliment ever at work today.
Really?
So I'm at work, and I work with this older black lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling me a story about how the one guy that works with us bought himself a beat-up old hoopty for $1,000.
Is that the exact wording?
Yeah, yeah. The exact wording was, and then he bought himself a beat-up old hoopty for like $1,000. And I started laughing. And she's like, why are you laughing? And I was like, because you're the only person other than myself I've ever heard use the word hoopty. And she goes, because we're hip. You know that. And I went, yeah. And then she goes, she looks at me with all sincerity and stops everything. And she goes, you know you're not white, right? I was like, oh my god, it's happening. And like, my first reaction was like, unironically, my first reaction was, yeah, I know, I'm Italian. And like, I didn't even like just
no, you're not Italian. You're
Watch your mouth. And like, I just instinctually said that, and like, I walked away and I was like, holy shit, did it happen? I was like, did I finally get it? Is it?
Did you finally get the recognition that you deserve?
I guess. I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted and more. I got everything I ever wanted and more, but at what cost? Like,
now where do you go?
Yeah,
you
like I
planned past this.
I couldn't believe it. I was just like, this is it. This is the recognition I feel like I've deserved for a while. Just it was a magical.
What are you gonna do with this newfound gift?
I don't know. maybe learn how to cook with spices. I don't know. Like,
ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know.
You should start going to a church with a very rowdy choir.
I would actually go to church if there was a church like that here, because
like a Baptist church,
like a real ass fucking Southern, like, get up and praise the Lord type of church, because there's just a lot of singing and dancing.
All the churches near our hometown are all like
white,
boring old white men, and there's like no spirituality. It's all just like rules.
It's rhetoric.
And it's all just playing by the book, and it's not like actual like having service to a religion. It's just a habit.
Yeah, it's go here, read out of a book, male Catholic priests rape children, and then and then it's don't steal or kill people,
and then it's Epstein party.
So it's official. I'm not white.
Congratulations. I hope one day I could achieve something similar.
I really think you're on your way. You've made strides in the past few years.
And you really think so?
Yeah, yeah. You're a valued member of this team.
Thanks. Do I get a 15-cent raise?
No, absolutely not. You get more responsibility, but no bonuses.
Thank you.
Speaking of more responsibility.
Are you trying to segue into my new thing?
I thought you were doing lore this week.
Yeah, I am doing lore this week.
Okay.
My new thing is that I'm doing lore this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, awesome. Great. Yeah, yeah. Hit it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Come on, yeah.
I'm doing lore this week because Vince is tired.
I'm working on something big for next week.
Yes, yes. It's actually going to be very freaking awesome. So I will be doing the lore for you this week, and it is a Fallout 76 lore, so any people that like 76 still can really like this. So I am going to be covering Camp McClintock, and that is a camp that was established in of course, Appalachia in 2072, and it was an infantry training center. Vince, do you remember this?
No, I don't think I've ever been here.
It's pretty early on the main qu- I don't know if it's on the main quest, but it was close enough to the main quest line that I was able to find it with pretty much ease in my first couple hours, and it's one of my favorite places in Fallout 76. So
See, I haven't really played the main quest line just because of you have to be level 20 to kind of get into it now. So
yeah.
the other quests exist, but they're not like these imperative quests. Move on.
Yeah, I don't know how I found this, but I remember really enjoying the little story that goes along with it. But it is one of those kind of places, and you see them all throughout Fallout, that kind of just before the bombs dropped, like they were switching over to like using robots instead of people as their like service providers. So this is an infantry training camp that is run basically by Mr. Gutsies and Mr. Handies. And it is absolutely delightful.
Can I get
There's
a
what?
can I get an impersonation of your best Mr. Handy?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be very good.
Come on, give me a try.
Oh, I'll do it. I just don't think it's going to be very good.
Okay, I never said it had to be good.
Hello, sir.
One more time?
Hello, sir.
Can I make a not a request, but maybe like a little note?
You're on thin ice, go ahead.
Do you have a silly hat that you could wear that maybe help you get into character a little bit? Maybe some tinfoil you can put on your arms?
No, actually, I do have a flamethrower.
Do you? Okay, cool. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, now try it again.
Hello, sir.
Okay, I was actually, yeah, you know what? I really felt that you put yourself into the mindset and embodied the character of Mr. Handy.
Thank you. So yeah, this place was no stranger to automation just before the Great War happened. And where the flesh and blood NCOs, which I'm going to tell you exactly what that is a non. I have it on another tab. I'm sorry, I'm a mess. Non-commissioned officers. So, non-commissioned officers in charge of whipping up recruits were stationed here, and they were replaced by robots. While the recruits hardly noticed a difference in the quality of training, it kind of meant the world to all the actual like human brass, because all the menial tasks of training new recruits were left to the robots, and it can kind of just go into oversight mode.
Cool.
So one of these people that was overseeing the operation was a Sergeant O'Malley, and he kept records on a terminal about how the robots were doing on the job, beginning in May of 2077. So it was pretty close to the actual bombs dropping.
Yes.
So June provided a little bit of progress towards integrating the robots. But they were kind of unable to climb up steep inclines, so it was hard to get them onto regiments that were physical. They ended up going with Mr. Handy's because they had a little bit better time with them because Mr. Gutsy accidentally killed a private.
Good shit.
Yeah. And also another Mr. Gutsy burned down the barracks due to another private's negligence. So
Good
all
shit.
around, the Mr. Gutsies that were stationed there were kind of terrible, and only the Mr. Handys actually did good work. Then in August of 2077, O'Malley's service was no longer needed because all the bots were doing what they were supposed to. So that's when he was dismissed from the position.
Cool.
And there is a quest that involves this place. It is called Back to Basic.
Okay.
And I really liked this quest because I had just wandered into the facility and then got thrust into it, and I really liked it. Basically, when you get there, a Mr. Gutsy is like, oh, what are the Mr. Gutsy voices like?
The dude from the fucking what is the Vietnam movie?
Shit, you're right.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to sound
He's
like.
kind of like. No, it's not that at all. Could you give me one?
I'd have to hear it. I haven't heard it in a while.
Yeah. What?
And you know, other loud exclamatory phrases. I can't even think of, like, the thing he says, because I know that they use that him yelling what for memes all the time, but I can't think of, like, anything else.
Yeah. Hold on.
What are you doing?
I'm looking up a little soundbite.
What are you doing?
Okay.
Are you gonna play? Are you gonna play?
You will comply with the military. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
So this Gutsy is like, you need to get whipped in shape, soldier, and basically sends you on a series of training exercises in the camp, and you go through your own little boot camp thing. And there are four different parts of the entire training regiment. There is patriotism, marksmanship, agility, and live fire. So patriotism.
Live fire?
Yeah. I'll tell you what they do. Okay. Patriotism was a test to see if you can pick out, basically in a lineup, which is the commie red that needs to be destroyed.
Okay.
And you have to, like, go into, like, two or three separate rooms and look around and, look at journals and look for evidence to prove that one of them is a commie and one of them is a God-fearing citizen of the United States of America.
Yes.
Marksmanship is just basically a firing range. It's not that special.
Pew pew.
Agility was cool. You have to go through an obstacle course before Mr. Handy does, so it's basically a race.
Oh, cool.
It's really, really cool. It's like the ones where, like, you had to go, like, down and, like, crouch in the mud, and then you had to go up a wall and rappel down. Mm. It was fucking awesome.
That's cool.
And live fire was basically a wave-style combat where you're fighting Mr. Handy's, Mr. Gutsy's, and a couple other robot kind.
I think Fallout, especially now that its gunplay isn't awful, needs more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it being, yeah, it's like in this like cool rocky area, so it feels really authentic. This quest is really, really fun. I recommend you guys search it out. The actual camp itself is located north of Lake Nugad and south of Sutton Station. So if anyone,
I've never been there.
Yeah, it's kind of out of the way. I remember I was walking on a mountain path, and then I saw a building pop into render distance, and I was like, oh, hey, that's something that's kind of neat. But yeah, I really, really like this. There's not a lot of lore. It's very short. I just really, like, reveled in the experience of, like, going through boot camp in a Fallout universe, and it was a really, really fun time.
Good shit. You ever do the scout camp thing?
No, but I know about that.
Yeah.
I saw a video on that one, and that's one that I would like to do.
Yeah.
It was actually bugged the last time I tried to do it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that, because most of the game was.
Yes. Because we played during launch week.
Yeah. We played the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everything you have?
Yeah, there's not really that much. I mean, occasionally super mutants might attack the camp because it's not that far from like a spawn point, like the like, you know, like the flesh bag areas.
Yeah.
And like you turn in the quest to like a Master Sergeant Gutsy, which I think just has like a couple like extra dialogue lines. It's really like a simple concept, but I just really, really liked it. And
good
I wanted
shit.
To share it with people. I mean, there's some cool loot, mostly just logs, but there are some weapon mods that spawn on the place, so that's really cool. Also, if you look at the soldier certificate from the quest back to basic, the place is referred to as Fort McClintock instead of camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a fort and a camp?
A fort is usually more heavily fortified and probably has, like, walls and, like, troops and stuff, where camp is more of like a temporary setup.
And s'mores?
Sure.
And s'mores?
And s'mores, yes.
Can we agree that s'mores suck?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I love s'mores. It's one of my favorite things about the summer.
I think it's like the worst part of not the worst part. I think putting them together is what sucks. Because like being a bearded individual
will not survive the winter.
What's up?
Maybe you're just weak and will not survive the winter.
I mean, Probably, most likely. But just, like, having a beard, I always get marshmallow in my... If I eat a... if I put a marshmallow over a fire and eat it, I'm good to go. But if I
just
make a s'more...
Just pop that hot lard in your mouth.
Absolutely. Just take a nice fucking hot load in the mouth. But if I fucking... If I put it on a grahamed cracker and then put a piece of chocolate... And then push it together. I always get some on my on my beard, and then I'm just like, oh, now I have to feel this until I can take a shower or can wash my face.
Just eat it right off.
Well, no, I even if I do that, it's still sticky and like tacky and on my face, and I'm just like, please stop. I don't want this.
Well, if you're gonna have s'mores, just carry some wet nap with you.
Well, I'm not a fucking
Boy Scout. That's the price of. Of the ambrosia of the goddesses.
Ambrosia?
Yes.
Someone's got the toilet paper with the word of the day on it. Where the fuck did you hear the word ambrosia?
It means food of the gods.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's one of my favorite words.
I never heard that before.
I think it's also a salad.
Ambrosia? Hold on. Yeah. Wait a fucking minute. Wait 2 fucking seconds. Ooh. What does ambrosia mean?
Ambrosia. The food of the gods.
Holy shit. Something very pleasing or to taste or smell. The tea was ambrosia after the slop I'd been drinking. The frugal product used by food by ambrosia beetles. So, goddamn, Zoola. Okay. Learning something new every day.
Yeah.
Is that everything?
Yeah, that's all I have for lore.
Cool. Can I segue into a quick topic about 76 I want to speak on really quickly?
Yeah, I mean, this already sounds like we're balls deep in a segue.
So I've been playing 76 kind of sparingly, just trying to get into the story so I can learn it. And I feel no compulsion to play. I actually feel more obligated than anything to play, and I'm not super having a grand time. And I think it's mostly because you hit level 10 about, and then it's like all the new quests are over. You have to go do vanilla shit, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like hit 20, and I'm just like, I don't have any... I feel like I have no... like
There's
I have no agency
in the
this world. Yeah.
For you, yeah.
And... I'm just trying to run around and do hood rat shit, and all of a sudden, like, something will change, or something will drop out, and it's just like, oh, well, I can't do that now, and, like, I don't have any stim packs, and, like, I just don't feel like anything I just feel like I'm moving from location to location with no real reason, but, again, that's only because I'm not level 20, so I can't do the quests, and I think I'm, like, 18 or 19, but... Real quick, I just want to talk about how the Brotherhood are coming back to West Virginia and how they shouldn't be coming back. they should be staying where they were. And I've talked about this ad nauseum.
Yes, you have.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I just do not get it. And why, of all places, would you stop at West Virginia? Why would you not stop in Texas? Like, you're already going, you're going east.
I mean, it is almost heaven.
But still, like... I don't know. I don't get it. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, I understand why they're doing it for monetary reasons. I just don't... It seems like something about the lore they didn't have to touch. They could have left power armor and been like, whatever, it's there. Excavation power armor or whatever. Who cares? I just don't understand why they had to be like, oh! And then, like, to just fucking add insult to injury, they put... They like the poster, the roadmap for the rest of the year that they showed, which will probably be, which they have shown, they have showed, they have shown.
They have shown.
It'll probably be on screen, and if it's not already now, it has been. And they like try to recreate the Fallout 1 cover art, and I'm just like, what is the point? Like, what is the point of this? Like, what is the point of you... Like, the people that are... Most people that are playing 76, I doubt. If you could take a guess, what percentage of 76 players do you think have played Fallout 1?
Probably, like, 10%.
Sorry?
Probably like 10%.
And how many? Okay, let's go even further. Out of all the people playing 76 right now that have played Fallout 1, what percentage of that do you think have beat it?
Probably like 3%.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's a nod. I don't think that's that big of a deal.
It is and it isn't. It's more of a big deal that you're trying to replicate something that's not even supposed to happen. Like, just the look of it. Like, I get it. It's a reference, whatever. But this isn't supposed to happen for another 60 years in the timeline? 55 years in the timeline? I like how now that this new Wastelanders update is out, it's actually 26 years after, which I like it being a weird number. Like, not mm-hmm. like a multiple of five, you know what I mean?
It's not 100 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. I just don't understand it. I don't think it needs to happen. And I'm actually kind of upset about it, but what am I going to do? They're going to fucking ruin the series with shit like this, so...
I don't feel too strongly on it. I think that the poster thing or the album art was just like kind of a nod.
No, that I'm not upset about. Like, I'm not upset about that. That whatever. Like it's neat, but it feels like a slap in the face to me at least. What bothers me about it is that why would you change established lore? Like why would you change something that everybody already knows? Like. You now have sites like fallout.fandom.com, and you have like the vault, which is now part of Nukapedia. You have all these mm-hmm. YouTube videos that are going into depth about the history of the Brotherhood, the lore of the game, and like it's the same argument someone told me that if they were to remaster Fallout 3 in New Vegas, it would be disrespectful to the modders who are rebuilding the game within the Fallout 4 engine. And every time I heard that, I was like, that's the most bullshit argument, because those modders are doing something for fun. It's not something imperative. And mm-hmm. if Bethesda wants to recreate these games, there's...
they have every right to do so.
Yeah, like, what do you mean it's a slap in the face to modders? It's just like... It just seems like a lot of people... I get it. It's upsetting, but, like, a lot of people put time into taking all this information, and now they just feel silly. Like, they can do whatever they want with it. I get that, but it just seems fucking... I don't know, but Fallout 2 is 20 years old.
Fallout 2 is 20 years old. I don't know its exact birthday, but I was looking through stuff, and I was like, wait, we're on episode 98. Then I started thinking about the year 1998, and how that was a really? While ago. Yeah. And I was like, wait, Fallout 2 came out in 98, and I forgot that it was 20 years old.
Yeah, it's, what do you... It's October 29th of this year, of 98, so it'll be... It'll be 20 years in October.
It'll be 20 years old. That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we're sitting here talking about a series that is over 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you haven't, Wow, all of the mainline games came out in October. Mm. Except for Fallout 4. It's Fallout 1 is October 10. Fallout 2 is... October 29. Fallout 3 came out October 28th. New Vegas came out October 19th. And then Fallout 4 came out November 10th.
I do remember that.
Wow, that's neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know I haven't beaten Fallout 1 or Fallout 2, and I haven't really played all that much of Fallout 2, but out of the two, which one do you prefer more from what you have played?
There's something about Fallout 1 that I really, really admire as, like, the first of its kind.
Okay.
So I'm going to probably go with Fallout 1, although I think Fallout 2's story is more compelling.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I really like, and like I said, I haven't really played all of 2, and I haven't beaten 1. I've played very little of 2. But I do really enjoy the aesthetic and the feel that Fallout 1 gives. It's very desolate and very, like... I'm mm-hmm. going to die. Where 2, I feel like it's a little wacky. It's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, I prefer the feeling of 1.
Right, yeah.
I like the more grounded in reality that is one, where two seems like it's a little more wacky and all over the... Not all over the place, but, like...
I feel like two is definitely the biggest inspiration towards New Vegas, because New Vegas is a little wacky.
Yeah, but I think New Vegas has the appropriate amount of whack to it. You know what I mean?
it's too whack?
No, like, it's good. Like...
No, Fallout 2 is too whack for you?
No, what do you mean?
Well, you said New Vegas is just wacky enough.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, I'm not saying Fallout 2 is too wacky. I'm just saying, like, New Vegas is still grounded somewhat in reality, but you have these weird, wacky moments where, like, oh, that robot's gonna put a fist in my ass. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So, yeah. Did you want to talk about anything else? About... old games?
No, just thanks, Black Isle. Thanks for... Black Isle.
Very cool.
Yeah, thanks, Black Isle. Very cool. They started it all, and I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. I would love to have a conversation with Tim Kaine and just talk about, like, the original, like, what was going through your mind, like, what were you... I mean, this was also 20 years ago, so I don't know how much of it he remembers, but...
And to see where it is today.
Yeah. I saw a thing with him, and he's like, I think Fallout 4 is a fine game. They did what they did with it. He goes, but I would have done the leveling up system differently. And the exact way he talks about it is the exact way they did it in The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. Neat.
So, speaking of games that are 20 years old... we are getting a fucking Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 full remake remaster from the ground up, and I couldn't be more fucking excited.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Dude, this year, I'm actually, like, looking forward to games, and what kills me is...
Is that they're
fucking Skate. I'm gonna buy 3 games. I might buy 4. I normally buy only 3, but... Two of them are skateboarding games, Skater XL, which we've talked about, and I'm really, really looking forward to that because it's more of a simulation.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk 1 and 2, Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Remastered.
It's going to have all of the original skaters, it's going to have all of the original music, it's going to have all of the original maps, probably a bunch of new shit that they're putting in there, and it comes out in fucking September. September 4th for Tony Hawk. July, I have to find the date, but I want to say 7 for Skater XL.
It's close to then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, July 2020.
I'm probably going to get Skate 1 and 2. I think it's a bundle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, Tony Hawk comes, it's 2 games on 1 disc.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably end up picking that up, but... I'm going to hold out on Skate XL until I hear what you have to think about it.
Really?
Yeah, because I know that you have a much deeper appreciation for it.
Well, I'm just excited to be playing fucking skateboarding games. Mm-hmm. I would probably play my PlayStation more because, like, these games are games I can just kind of turn on and then play for a little... Oh, they're both going to be $40! That's so fucking awesome. Turn them on and play them and then just kind of turn my brain off and then get off. Like, that's what I loved about Skate, is I would just play Skate to turn my brain off.
Just chill, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for these games. I can't fucking wait for these games. They're going to be so good. I hope they're going to be good. The only thing is, the people that are working on Tony Hawk, the remake, are Vicarious Visions, who did Skylanders, and instantly I was like, I have some friends that work there. Really? Yeah?
Yeah.
See if they can hook you up with some codes, my man.
They're not that close of friends.
Well, now's you got till September. yeah, I'm super fucking excited about Tony Hawk and Skater XL. It's fucking... I just want to play a skateboarding game in the worst way. I just want to do fucking... See, Skater XL is going to allow me to, like, make lines that I can just kind of, like, all right, do a pop shove it here... Maybe do a nose manual, and then at some point do like a 50-50 grind where Tony Hawk's going to be like, all right, you see that shark? Cool. You're going to use that shark as a skateboard, and you're going to do a fucking dark side nose blunt on that homeless person who's fucking hanging out with a bunch of goats and blonde strippers. And then from there, Bam Margera is just going to come over with a gun and start mowing down crowds of clowns.
Yeah, that's what I come to expect from Tony Hawk's Skater 1.
I can't fucking wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to play these fucking games again. I can't wait to play School for the 40 millionth time remastered. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. So fucking excited. What other like PS1, PS2 era games would you like to see remastered? Because they remastered Crash, and then they did Spyro.
Pause. I'm pausing you right now. I'm going to look directly at the camera and talk directly into my microphone. Bully 2.
Ha ha ha. Yeah, but we're not going to get Bully 2. I genuinely don't think we're getting Bully 2.
Give me Bully 1 remastered.
You want it fully remastered?
Like a full remake, yeah.
Like a full from the ground up, better graphics, better controls.
Yeah.
I don't think
I love Bully, and I play it pretty frequently. But it's aged.
Oh my god, it's janky. But that's that Rockstar charm about it.
Is that it kind of sucks, but it's great.
Yeah. It sucks because I don't think we'll ever get to see Bully 2. I just really don't think we will. Because I don't think it's a game that will be received that well. And from Rockstar, the last game Rockstar released before Red Dead 2 was GTA 5. Mm-hmm. And that was like 2013 or 14.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And they've only just started pre-production on, from what I understand, on Grand Theft Auto 6.
So GTA 6 is years out at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, I doubt they'll make...
Yeah, from what at least 6 or 7, I would say.
From what I once heard, and I think this was in a Swegta video, that Rockstar had... a build for Bully 2 already made, and that's where the rope mechanics for Red Dead Redemption came from.
Oh, cool.
So that you were going to be able to trip people with like a jump rope or a rope or something in Bully 2, and they just said, alright, scrap the game, and then put the ropes into Red Dead.
I mean, the game could still be alive somewhere.
In our hearts, yeah.
No, I mean, like, it could be down the pipeline at some point, but, like, for sequels, I think that's actually something that's probably very common. Like, working with new mechanics and new styles of, like, programming certain obstacles and having these tech demos that mm-hmm. are on newer sidetracked games... And then you'll find things that work, and the best of those things end up in the games that get released.
Maybe.
At least that's what I would think.
I don't know, just because it seems like the way Rockstar wants to go now is take your time, release a monster game, put it out.
And let it live for 10 years.
Yeah, and then just kind of make money off of, what do you call it?
DLC.
No, the online. Yeah, the DLC, the online stuff, like the shark cards and whatnot. But think about how fucking fun a bully online could be, where you could, like, jump in.
That would be so cool.
Well, you couldn't kill anybody, you could knock them out, but, like, it would be like Harry Potter, but not lame. Like, you could pick what clique you want to belong to, so, like, these are the preps.
Or even, like, if it's a big game, you could pick which university.
Yeah, like, there's multiple schools. Like, if you could pick multiple schools, and then each school has its own, like preps and greasers and film kids and, like, drama kids. Mm-hmm. And
or, like, the Technical Institute, all the people suck. And the art school, they're all art school-y.
Yeah, they...
You know?
Yeah, all post-contemporary you know? Haircuts and hatred for their parents. Yeah. No, I just... There's a lot to be played with there, and I think it could be a big game, but I think just the climate that we live in now, I don't think it would come out and be received well, because you'd instantly get white people going, this is a bullying simulator. This is, I don't know. I don't understand how Pepe is racist, but apparently he is. And if they found a way to make Pepe racist, they'll find a way to make Bully 2 racist if it has online like that. So I don't know what to tell you.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. I would love Bully 2, but I was listening to another podcast, and the guy on the show said that it seems like PlayStation is just going to keep remastering big titles from the PS1 days and just see how that goes. I just hope them remastering Tony Hawk gets us a tried and true Tony Hawk Pro Skater 6 or Tony Hawk Underground 3 or another offshoot of those games that isn't a motion control gimmicky mess. Or anything like Project 8, and it's actually like a good fucking fun time.
Or Skate 4.
Or I hope when I heard when this got announced, Skate 4 was trending on Twitter, and it was like, why doesn't EA take note that they owned the rights to a franchise? Even if they remade Skate 1, 2, and 3 together and just said, here's Skate 1, 2, and 3, you can just play the story together. Here's all the clothes. Here's all the music. Here's XYZ.
Like, go hog wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's every map that we've ever put in. All the deal. Like, just go. Have fun. Fuck it. We're not making another one, so take this. Put it on PC. Put it everywhere.
Here, take this and shut the fuck up.
I would pay 60 for it. I was planning on paying 60 for Tony Hawk. When I found out it was 40, that's crazy. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for fucking Tony Hawk 1 and 2 Remake and Skate XL.
Do you want to know what else I'm excited for?
What's that?
I'm excited for Shane Ivers to make our intro music, Feather Duster.
Okay.
If you want to get that, you can get that at www.silvermansounds.com/free-music/feather-duster. But Vince?
Yes.
Would you like to take us on a journey through the internet, please?
Sure. If you want to follow the show, you can follow the show on Twitter at Atomic Radio Hour. You can follow our personal Twitters. There will be a link in the description below. You can also follow us on our Discord, where you can jump in and have a conversation. And you can talk to a bunch of different people. We've been talking about our turnip prices, and I'm about to lose my ass. Ha ha! I've spent $2.1 million on turnips, and I have yet to see a return. I have to find somebody so I can at least get a little bit of a profit so I can pay off my fucking loans.
If you need
loans.
Money, we can... If you need money, let me know. I can help you out.
What are your turnip prices?
I don't know. I haven't played in a couple days. I'm letting my time catch back up to normal.
Hmm. You should check your turnip prices because I need me some. I spent $2 million. Whatever. Join the Discord. It's a whole lot of fun. We always are having a blast in there. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like. Throw us a subscription, Johnson, Bob Cream Sleeve. Leave a little comment, something, please. You can download us anywhere podcasts are downloadable. And I feel like I'm fucking forgetting something every single time. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, CastBox, everywhere. But if you really like the show and you want to see us get a little bit bigger and a little bit better, you can throw us a couple bucks through either Patreon or Redbubble. We have a bunch of things on our Redbubble. We have shirts, clocks, blocks, duvets, shower curtains, t-shirts, hoodies, I think bags. You can go there, get a little bit of swag for yourself.
Travel mugs?
Sorry?
There's a travel mug.
Travel mug?
Travel mug.
And then if you really want to see the show get a little bit bigger and a little bit better, you can head on over to the Patreon, throw us a couple bucks there. And I think it's starting this week, if I can figure it out. You'll be able to hear the episodes a day or two early on Patreon before they go out on Saturday.
Yep, we're just working on changing up our workflow to get that available for y'all.
Yeah.
So if you want to start hearing us early, maybe mosey on over to our Patreon.
But for those who do already support us on Patreon, just know, all you have to know is if you pay the lowest tier, you'll get to hear the episode early. We have to thank a couple of people. You have that list in front of you?
I have it in my brain.
All right, you ready?
So we will start with the friendly companion Cube.
Thank you, Cube.
Thanks, Cube.
My good man.
And Noah, I hope you're well.
Noah, thank you.
Next up is Gage.
Gage, thank you twice.
Thank you twice.
Once for Patreon, twice for the Discord. He pays for the Nitro so we can stream and we can do all the fun Nitro activities.
Next up is Jordan with a Y.
Thank you, Jordan with a Y.
And we have Danny.
Hey, Danny. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is everyone that we have right now.
Cool.
But you could be here, too.
You could. And you could hear the episode early.
Yeah. And also, you've probably noticed that the episode is not nearly done yet.
yeah. So, did you see this Unreal demo?
Yeah.
How fucking crazy.
Dude, I shit you not, when I saw that, I got very, just so excited because I know how to work with Unreal.
Really?
I mean, not to that capacity, but whew, it's beautiful.
Sorry, I was yawning. The only thing I don't like about the tech demo is that it could have been a CGI demo. You know what I mean? Like, it could have just been like a little CGI film they put together. Like, I know it isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like...
But at this point, real-time graphics are as good as rendered graphics of the past.
Really?
That's pretty impressive.
No, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying that, like, this is a game that looks really fun. The way she just, like, flies through the cavern or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really cool. And just, like, why can't that be a game? What's that?
What game was that?
It they said it was like the land of something. Someone in the land of something. I saw a thing for it, but it was like I just kind of want to play this game, like that game that they showed off. I want to play that.
It's like, whoa, that looks dope.
Yeah, like I wanted to try whatever the hell that was. I don't want to have to necessarily wait. Not wait, because like they'll probably use the framework for it for another game somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to something and they were saying that if you listen to the way the rocks fall, it sounds really realistic. And if you watch them, they fall really, 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 really realistically. How do you say the word?
Realistically.
Realistically. Which I never really thought of like how do rocks fall in a game or how does it sound? Which I don't know why I didn't never think of that. I just never did. I just think when I play a game, I suspend my disbelief a lot. What?
I think about that shit constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really think about it all that much. It looks fun. It looks and it my whole thing is this is, I think it was to show off the PS5's graphical capability. And my only thing is that's cool and all. If it's going to come standard at 4K, great. Is it going to be locked at 30 frames? And I'm not a frames guy.
Oh, no.
Frames don't make or break games for me. And I think if the frame rate of a game breaks it for you, like, I think that's so silly. Like, why are you gonna not enjoy a game based on frame rate alone?
At the same time, at this point the standard should be 60.
I don't know about that. I'm fine with 30, honestly. I'm fine with 30. I don't think there's a big deal. It's I understand, like, at least having, like, you should at least have 1080p. like, it should at least be h fucking d.
Not I just guess, HD, H fucking D.
Yeah, H fucking D. And I don't think, I think 4K, it's going to go to the, it's going to be 4K is going to be the what's it called? The standard. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people, I think a lot of people do and don't have 4K TVs.
Like, and honestly, 4K is not really, like, it's good and all, but it's not really that impressive when you think about monitors that are like 1440p running at like 144 hertz. Now that's gorgeous. You need 60 fps on a monitor like that minimum.
See, I mean, I frames just don't, they don't change anything for me. I could play a game and it can have 60 frames or it can have 30 frames and I'll be, as long as it's not a,
it's mostly
slideshow.
To do with the hardware that you're running on.
No, I understand, but I'm saying like it doesn't, I've never played, like, I've played games at 60 and I've played games at 30 and I'm just like, well, this has ruined my experience. It's just whipped cream to me. It's just extra. Like, it's just, ooh, this is nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose. For me, it's a little bit more important to me.
Well, it's whatever. I don't care. Yeah. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you, I love how they're, I just don't want them to tout, oh, this is this and this is all this and that and this and it's all X, Y, and Z, And then you get there, and it's like a slideshow. And it's like, oh, can I play the game, or do I have to wait for the fucking slides to load?
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
It needs to be functional. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as the game runs, I don't care. But I don't know. Unreal 5 looks promising. They're going to which I want to know how this is going to work. They're going to have Fortnite in Unreal 5. So I wonder if that's just like there's going to be two versions, because like if I'm playing on Unreal 4 and you're playing Unreal 5, I would assume you would have the advantage.
Well, eventually it'll just roll out as a software update. It's basically an engine as a whole is just a package of software in which that you build your stuff off of.
Mm-hmm.
And just because this one's more advanced, mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's going to be tiered. Like the next time there's an update that they want to move to Unreal 5, it's just going to be a move and everyone's going to have it. On a title by title basis, of course.
But okay, here's my question though.
That uses Unreal.
Can the PS4 and the Xbox One run Unreal 5?
They can probably run certain features of it, but those features don't necessarily have to be tied to the engine.
I see.
So, like, for example, if you had the right project files, you can open up, say, Bully in Unreal 5. It's still going to look exactly, if it were made in Unreal, mm-hmm. It's still going to look exactly like it did, but you just have more tools available for what you can create with it. Does that make sense?
Okay. So is the engine and the graphics engine different?
Yes.
Oh.
The way that graphic processing is a lot different to, like, the actual game engine, like the code base.
All right, then I want to talk about, we have something else here, but we can touch upon it quick. Just, Epic somehow got Gears to run on the PS3, which they said it was just a test, they weren't doing anything with it. I guess they just want to see if they can do it. Epic has so much fucking money at this point that they're just throwing around. Like, Unreal 5, they're going to waiver the first $1 million that you make that you can use Unreal 5.
Oh, cool.
So, like, if you have Unreal 5 and make a game, you don't have to pay the, what's it called? The licensing fee, I guess?
Yeah, you don't have to pay the license fee until you make $1 million.
Yeah, but once you make $1 million in one, you have to start paying the fee on whatever you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, that's great for indies.
No, it's great for indies, but hold on a second. Let's just see something quick. I'm just curious. I want to know how many copies that is. No, wait, hold on, wrong way.
Copies of a $60 game, are you assuming?
Yeah. That's 16,000, so 16,666 games. So let's just say 16,650, because I'm not including tax or whatever. So a little over 16,500 games, those first six, you'll make all the money from it, which is great, like you said, for indies, because they could take all that money and refunnel it back into something.
Into their projects, yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was neat. I thought it was really neat, and they're just throwing money around, they're buying timed exclusives, and they're just fucking a bunch of shit up.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, not in a good way, they're just, you know, fucking shit up.
They're just doing the industry.
Yeah. But this is what I wanted to ask you before, and I started asking you, and you told me to shut up and wait for this. If I wanted to make a game that looked like it was a Nintendo 64 era or a PS1 era game... Do I need an engine from back then, or can I use a modern day engine, but then I just need a graphical engine from fucking a long ass time ago?
No, I mean, if most like things that are in the style of like the Super Nintendo or like the N64,
mm-hmm.
you can make that on modern technology and make it look the same. Your art style ultimately is your choice.
Being all polygonal?
Yeah, you can do that.
So, like, what have you made
a game? Most of my games have really shitty polygonal, bad rigs and models.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, why not make... Like, I always thought the aesthetic of, like, a PS1, like, Cloud. Like, how polygonal Cloud is from that.
Mm-hmm.
with like HD textures would be so jarring. I think that'd be such a fun concept.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Most people just choose not to do styles that are considered like antiquated or obsolete, but the games industry, it's a creative space, so you can do whatever you goddamn want. You see new pixel art games coming out every other day.
Yeah, but wasn't that more it's out not, of
it's not because it's running on an old engine, it's just running on a in that kind of graphic style.
I see. I don't know, I think a polygonal, like a 3D polygonal game would be really, really interesting, especially now, because now the what's it called? The nostalgia is all there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the PS1 came out in 96?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I just thought it was neat.
Yeah, I think it is really, really neat. Currently, one of the games that I'm working on is in a pixel art kind of style like that. So
cool.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of pixel art was being done just because it's also easier than to like.
Not necessarily.
Use Blender.
Yeah. I mean, 2D graphics are generally a lot. It's a different ball game to working with 3D graphics.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's just a different game.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is probably where we're going to make our farewell for the week. We already did our things to say in the mid-roll, but everybody have a wonderful weekend.
This is the most abrupt ending we've ever done.
Well, it's because we did our outro in the middle.
Yeah, I know, but you went from like 0 to 100. Or you went from like 100 to 0, I should say.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize. It's just
I didn't know how else to get there.
I just is there anything else you want to speak on?
No, there's really not much else I want to speak on. Next week is 99. We're getting up to the triple digit.
Yeah. Yeah, I got something planned for next week and then the week after that, and then only cool. A few more weeks until we're at 2 years.
That's going to be a party.
Yes, I don't have a goddamn thing planned for it. No, I have something. cool.
Well, yeah, farewell, friends.
Bye, everybody. Stay safe.
Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.